Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
We're brothers, we're happy and we're singing and we're colored. Give me a high five!
How can I do my job if y'all idiots are blocking up the way to get to the hospital? There are people dying every minute.
We treat so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well.
Our forefathers weren't the pilgrims. We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. The rock was landed on us.
You're listening to True Information with Marquis Davis and Grown As Man. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of True Information. I am Marquis Davis, and I am with...
What's up? This is Grown Man. This is Grown Man. I'm going to take the A down a little bit because some people, you know, might not like that. It's cool. Grown, middle initial, A, man. You can still tell your mom about me, though.
So we're here with Grown A Man.
And you know, grown man for short. It's cool.
You know what? This COVID-19 stuff. I know everybody's getting tired of hearing about it, but it has started causing some crazy situations to happen within the world.
More crazy than death, bro. Which is weird.
It's sad because people are looking for a reason to escape this, but they don't have one. You know, it's a virus. We don't know when it's going to subside. We don't have a cure for it. So why do we have to?
We don't even know if it's real.
We don't know if it's real.
Yeah.
You know what? Let me go on that real quick. We don't know if it's real. You know. So I was reading a report that said that the CDC is paying hospitals more money for diagnosing deaths as COVID-19.
I heard that too.
What? I mean, it makes no sense, but it's probably true.
It probably is because you know what. At some point, the rest of the country has to say, oh, what, people are actually dying? Maybe I should listen.
You know, and all of my friends that are up in New York City, they are super concerned and super scared because they are seeing people that they actually know contract this disease.
Yeah.
You know.
I know of three people in New York who have it, and one person passed away.
You know, and that's just sad because here in Georgia, I only know one person, my aunt's pastor, who was my pastor when I was 16, 17, passed away from what they determined as COVID-19, but he had heart troubles as well.
Well, see, that's the problem because we had a population that was susceptible and it was very bad for, kind of like the flu. And like they could have anything and everything. And if they had COVID-19 in their bloodstream, in their system, because if they die at a hospital, they most likely got infected. If they have it in their system, then they're labeling it COVID-19, and it fluffs the numbers. Mm-hmm. If that's true, if it fluffs the numbers, and in fluffing the numbers, then the media can now tell the number of deaths, mm-hmm. and now this COVID-19 is super, super, super worse. When in reality, it's still bad. It could still possibly kill you,
mm-hmm.
but because a larger group of people aren't taking it seriously, protesters, and still getting infected, protesters,
mm-hmm.
now other people are having to relive that, and we all got to stay back in the house. We all got to be on punishment, stuck in the house, another goddamn on 3 to 4 weeks, because people don't want to listen, and the government opened up the goddamn on country again.
Well, you know, they had to open the country up. We were losing so much money. We were finna go into another Great Depression if they didn't open the economy back up and open up the stores.
If we don't got people who are alive, we got a Great Depression.
Well, think about it this way, though. If we have to sacrifice 300,000, 400,000 people in order for the country to continue to run, I think that's a sacrifice that we have to make for our future. That's our children.
Who the hell?
Yeah, that's our children. Think about it.
The children might die.
They won't die if we protect them as parents. Now, if I see any parents that are out there in the store with their children who don't have a mask or protection, then,
all the time.
You know, I guess that's their fault.
Target, Kroger.
They don't want their generations Sam's, to grow, I guess. You know?
BJ's.
It's ridiculous, though. I mean, like,
Walmart. I think I said Walmart.
Yeah, I think you did. I want to pull up this one story real quick, okay?
Go ahead.
It's about a man who shot the mail carrier because he was upset over his stimulus check in Indiana. This happened April 30th.
What the hell is going on with y'all, Indiana?
April 30th. You know, and I used to work for the post office as a mail carrier, and I'd be damned if somebody comes out looking for a stimulus check and mad at me. I'm driving right off, you know. And she was probably, I'm telling you the truth, dude, most post office workers, most carriers, either rurally or city carriers, are extremely nice people to the customers, you know.
I've only experienced nice postal carriers. I'm a nice person myself, but I haven't had a postal carrier except that one who stole my son's Social Security card. We ain't gonna talk about that.
Well, you know, you have your outliers, but that's just like in the Army. You know, like if a spouse call up to the colonel and make a complaint, then everybody gets in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, so if a customer calls the post office to make a complaint about their mail carrier on their route, that mail carrier will get up in deep doo doo. You know, it will reflect on them. So the article, which is coming out of KansasCity.com, it says that a U.S. postal carrier is dead after reportedly being shot by a man on her route following disagreements about withheld mail, including stimulus check and an aggressive dog, according to multiple media outlets.
What kind of dog was it? I'm interested in this aggressive dog.
It doesn't say what kind of dog it was. It just said aggressive.
My news source, which slips my mind right now. I heard Ray Ray told me it was a Chihuahua.
Oh, well, those are the most aggressive breed.
They are, because no one actually pays attention to their aggression. It's like when your woman gets mad at you and packs up all your shit and then like either pours bleach on it or throws it out or breaks the window or scratches your car.
That's a Chihuahua.
Or sets some stuff on fire. That's a Chihuahua because if a woman does that, oh, she's a little crazy, but no one actually, you know, arrests her for that. Mm. When they had the wait in the exhale motion.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, that movie.
She set all of his crap on fire.
Including the
Including the car. That's a Chihuahua moment.
You know what? I'm going to tell you the truth, man. Being a postal carrier is, like, difficult. I remember one time when I was on a route, man, I went to this nice neighborhood. I had to deliver a package. I dropped the package on the porch. I turned around, and it was a huge boxer standing behind me silently, just staring at me with his tail straight. I thought I was about to die.
Who are you and why are you here, sir?
It's funny. I grabbed my scanner because, you know, you have the little scanner you got to have. It's thick, too. It's a thick plastic thing. I backed up to the front door. I knocked on the door, and I was like, hey, ma'am, get your dog. I don't want to have to hurt your dog, you know? And my heart is just racing because this dog snuck up on me. And that happens a lot being a postal worker. So the article further says that she was talking about the dog, you know, and they were having a disagreement about this dog. The dog is a nasty devil that I've actually had to spray twice, Summers wrote on a Facebook post 2 days before the shooting. She added that the mail at the resident, which included two stimulus checks, was halted until they signed a letter about keeping their dog away while she made her deliveries. And that's true. So what the post office does, we have these little forms that we have within the truck. We can fill one out and say, hey, man, you know, put it in the mailbox. Your dog is aggressive. I can't deliver mail to this box because of your dog. Or your boxes, your mailbox is obstructed. I can't deliver your mail. So we'll leave a sticky. If she left two, then guess what she can do? She can hold the mail and tell them they have to come to the post office to pick their mail up. That's what you can do with a mail carrier, you know. And apparently Tony Cushingberry thought that
Tony
must have shot her. You know, and it's sad, dude. Post office workers work very, very hard, dude, from experience. To get your mail at your house by 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, they got to be moving. Yeah. All right?
Yeah. No, I get it, man. Like, that's just sad, though. Like, another person, a person's life is gone. Like, she was somebody's daughter.
Yep.
She might have been somebody's wife. She might have been somebody's mama.
Mm-hmm.
At least a friend. Like, come on, you end somebody over some mail?
And so this is just I
honestly hope they go to jail.
No, they're going to jail. Hopefully they're in Indiana. You know what? I'm so sick and tired of this life imprisonment without parole. Just kill the dude. All right.
Wow.
Yes, I am a strong proponent of the death penalty, and it's because of this. Dakota Harambe, you know, eye for an eye. You steal somebody's food, they chop off your left hand. You know what I'm saying?
Wait a minute, sir.
Yeah, you know.
You steal somebody's food. How about you just make them make you food for a year?
You see what? That's a good idea. You understand? But the thing that I think about is that if you just simply ask, I'm pretty sure someone in their heart will be like, you know what? You are down and out. Let me help you out. Here's a piece of bread. You understand what I'm saying? You know, instead of going to the point where you have to kill someone because of a frivolous issue, a stimulus check is a frivolous issue. He could have easily went to the post office and made a complaint about the postal worker, or he could have complied with what the postal worker asked him to do.
There's a third option.
What's that?
He could have had the stimulus check direct deposited.
Oh no. He didn't have the. You got to understand. Okay, let's play the scenario out. So when they sent you your stimulus check via direct deposit, right? It was because of your tax return.
Yep.
Now a lot of people I know, they get these advances from H&R Block, you know, or TurboTax when it's tax time. And they get a card in the mail from these companies, and then they lose the card after they spent all the money. So what did the IRS do with the stimulus checks if you filed a tax return? They sent the money to your card that you used on your last tax return.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Or they sent you a mail check if you requested one, or if you didn't do a tax return. So. Yeah. If they didn't do a tax return and they went online and filled out the paperwork to have a check mailed to them, right?
Yeah.
Then you know, my mail lady said, this dog is here and she won't deliver my mail and I'm waiting on this check. So why don't I just get the dog, put him to the tree, or hold him until she delivers the mail? Because I am looking for this check. All right? Instead of coming out there and saying, where my check at? Where my check at? Or chasing her down, where my check at? Well, I told you 2 days ago that if this dog is still here, I won't be able to deliver your mail. And I told you this in a nice professional manner. So the only thing you have to do is be professional and cordial back with me. And guess what? Maybe I might find it in my heart to ride up here with my window up. And when I see you approaching, roll my window down and hand you your mail. But because you came at me like this, I'm going to leave your mail at the post office.
Yep.
You know, and that's why I told you I'm a strong proponent of the death penalty. We spend too much tax money funding these private prisons to keep prisoners who have killed someone, devastated lives, in a cell. Why? Why?
Due process or something like that. Appeal.
Appeal. You know what? I think the court process and the appellate courts take forever to do anything.
They do. Because everyone has to be at least a shadow of doubt or something like that. Or, I mean,
if
okay, put it like
a
this, right?
Jury
like,
of your peers found you guilty.
I don't enjoy. Well, yeah, see, a jury of your peers, if everyone had literally a jury of their peers, then it would be a lot different. But not everyone has a jury of their peers. I have a problem with the death penalty only because, I know this is a tangent, but I like the tangent. I have a problem with the death penalty because, the people who are now being found to be innocent 10, 15, 20, 30 years later of a crime that they never committed. And it's like, oh, well, what if we had put them to death back then? Oops. And I get it. You make a great point. If beyond a shadow of a doubt, you kill somebody. Okay. That makes perfect sense. But for everybody else, nah. Because I know I've seen too many people that look like you and me, unfortunately, but I've seen too many people who have been exonerated within the last 3 or 4 years, 3 to 4, maybe
but,
even 5 years.
Well, that's because new evidence became viable, because new evidence, was like DNA testing, wasn't viable 15, 20 years ago. You know, even in 2005, DNA testing wasn't really that great. You know, and now we have the process that we can get down to the RNA strand of a person who killed somebody if they left a piece of hair.
Right.
And with that, I understand that. Give a death penalty inmate one chance at an appeal. All right. Now, this one chance might be 30 years from now. That's if they have the evidence. But if they don't have the evidence, then the evidence is overwhelming and a jury of your peers has convicted you of murder. All right.
Yeah.
I'm talking about currently, in current times and ages, not back in the 60s and 70s and 80s, because back then they just, oh, well, the black man, they just go lock up black people, and next thing you know, somebody, that's the black man that did it, you know, without any physical evidence, and then the jury, which is made of all white people, have now convicted this black man because they just want to get it done with. And yes, I said that. I said it. So what? Get mad at me. Email the show at trueinformation@gmail.com. trueinformation2020@gmail.com or grownassmanspeaks@gmail.com.
That's right. I haven't got anything in my inbox, so either y'all not listening or y'all too scared to email me.
I think they're too scared to email.
Okay, cool.
You know, but let's get off of that. Okay, so we can have a whole show on death penalty versus not death penalty because
I'm writing that down.
I am so pro death penalty.
I am writing that down specifically because this morning we ran out of things to talk about for like 10 seconds. So.
All right, so let's get back. COVID-19 has caused some crazy things to happen. I know you got a couple stories you want to read real quick about what's going on during this day and time.
I do, sir. So we're going to start off with, like we said earlier, we had an earlier show saying that most of the states were to open on April 30th, which they did, or I should say reopen on April 30th, which means that the stay-at-home order has been lifted. My state of Florida was one of them. And I believe, Marquis, your state of Georgia was another.
Yep.
Texas was another.
Mm-hmm.
And as I read this article, the headline reads, Texas sets record for largest gain of COVID-19 cases over a 2-day period since pandemic began. This is reported by the KHOU.com, which I believe is Houston,
mm-hmm.
By Bob Garcia Buckaloo. Yeah, really, Buckaloo. On May 4th, 2020, Austin, Texas, over the first week or May of May, sorry, it has a typo. Over the first weekend of May 2020, Texas health officials report the greatest 2 consecutive days gain in the number of new COVID-19 cases, with more than 2,000 new cases added on May 2nd and May 3rd. I'm going to just put it right there. Like, I mean, I'm not one to just read the first few headlines or first few sentences of a thing, but I'm not going to sit here and read the entire article for you because you have Google and you have Facebook.
Uh-huh.
So what does that mean? People are still, in fact, people are getting sick more. The country opened. Not everyone was healthy. Everyone's going around. No one's going with a mask. They ain't standing 6 feet apart. Yo, y'all getting in trouble. I'm staying my happy ass in the house like I'm supposed to. And the rest of y'all can go out and be sick all you want to, but I'm not coming out for a while. That was one. Marquis, you read the one about the postal worker. I got one here. It's CNN.
Uh-oh. Fake news alert.
CNN Business. United Airlines COO, Chief of Operations, says employees should seriously consider voluntary separation from an airline.
Wow.
Here's where we get tricky. This is why all of the people who were fighting to have large companies not get a bailout. This is exactly why. Because on May 4th, 2020, CNN reported a top executive at the United Airlines tells employees to consider leaving the company voluntarily as it grapples with the consequences of the coronavirus pandemic. In a memo to some Southwest Airlines staffer, United Airlines staffers, which was obtained by CNN Business Greg Hart, the company's chief operations officer, the airline will need to right-size its workforce.
You know what's funny about this, though? If you look at how airlines and other companies across the United States are consumed with monetary gains, you know, greed.
Yeah.
And they charge
a profit.
They're charging the customers $30 for a bag that's 1 pound overweight. you know, to place in the storage on the bottom as opposed to the overhead bin. You know, you're charging fat customers an extra seat to have an extra seat, even though they can fit in the normal seat. You're charging them more. Oh, excuse me. Whoa, wow, where did that come from? You're charging them more to have an extra seat because they weigh a certain amount. You know, when you are screwing the customer, guess what's going to happen? The customer is not going to support you. So now, if you look at Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett, he pulled out all of his investments in any airline company he had, all of them. Then it says like $300-something million. I can't remember. I'm not looking it up. So you guys can look it up and fact check me if you want to, because this right here is my uninformed opinion topic. So, you know, it's like Warren Buffett pulled out all his money. So now the airlines are scrambling, talking about, oh, man, if Warren Buffett pulls out, guess who else is going to pull out? Everyday normal investors who have money in airline companies.
Because they're going to follow the trillionaires, the lead.
Yep, and that's what happened. So now they're like, oh, okay, so if we get them to voluntarily quit, they don't have unemployment. The unemployment money won't come from us, because that's what happens with unemployment. When someone files unemployment, the company they came from has to now pay the unemployment, you know, taxes or whatever. I don't know the whole...
I'm about to say, I thought it came out of the taxes.
But still, it affects the company. You know, hold on. Yep. You know, I'm gonna research that real quick. You talk for a minute.
Okay. So going back, hold on. Let me open this back up. Ooh. So United, UAL is their stock market marker. UAL announced last month that it was cutting its May and June schedule by about 90% of what it originally planned at the start of the year. The airline precluded from laying off staff for the next 6 months under the term of the federal financial assistance package that will provide it with about $5 billion. Though it is prepared to cut staff as soon as October 1, according to an April letter sent by the staff, CEO Oscar Munoz and President Scott Kirby. So check this out, folks. Airlines, large companies, things of that nature, yes, they're feeling the effect of COVID-19 as well. But in order to keep their bottom line, in order to keep the money that they were having, or in order to receive money and keep it, because in order to they were given money by the government, or they're being given money by the government, and it's around the tune of $5 billion. But in order to do that, they can't fire people. Okay, now they're asking them to voluntarily leave.
Okay, so now the unemployment taxes are paid by employers to the federal government and states in order to fund unemployment benefits for out-of-work employees.
Right.
So the airline companies pay the state and the federal government an unemployment tax for the benefit of any employee that is fired, I guess, you know. Because you can't get unemployment unless you get fired, right? I mean, I can't quit and get unemployment.
That's the thing. That is the thing. You can get fired, furloughed, or laid off, and you will be able to receive unemployment. If you quit, that's on you, Bubba.
So he's asking them to quit so that way they don't have to pay any more additional unemployment tax.
Well, I'm not saying quit, sir. I'm saying voluntarily separate.
Voluntarily resign, please.
Voluntary is quit, brother. It's quit. Don't use funny words with me.
You know what's funny, too, is that some employees are going to do this because they do whatever the company tells you. Now, one thing that I have learned over the years is stop doing what employers want you to do to help the company. It's not helping your family, and it's not helping you if you quit this job. Not at all. They're not going to come to your house with a basket of food and say, well, thank you so much for quitting. You know, we really needed that because we really needed some money to keep our company afloat. Here's some food for your family, and we're going to pay your rent for the next 3 months. They don't care. But yet and still, you will go and break your back for a company who gives two craps about you. They care nothing about you, nothing about your family. You know, and that's why I think with my mindset currently nowadays, I can never work for anybody because I'm straight going to tell you, you know, you want me to do this? This is endangering my life or my welfare, or it's going to put my family in some type of jeopardy, my home in some type of jeopardy. I'm not doing it. not doing it at all. I'll leave this job. I'll find another one because guess what? This company cares nothing about me. Well, you know, if you stay 30 years, you might become a manager. Not finna waste my time.
Middle management?
Yeah, middle management.
So, like, I think because you and I are around the same age, which is, and it's interesting to hear, listen about this. Oh, not listen, but talk about this really quick because the generation before us and the generation before them, they had company loyalty.
Yep.
They had like the company goes down. No, we're sticking together. We're going to pull through this, all of us.
Yep.
Our generation does not have that because our generation was met with the generation previous to us. Like, I don't know what happened to the baby boomers, they ended up having some people mess it up for the rest of us.
They became greedy.
Oh yeah. Well, they didn't became, cause it was like the biggest age of innovation was their generation.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest boom of everything was their generation. So like, the greed increased, the money increased, the innovation increased, the living increased, and everything was either great or horrible.
Listen,
and what's up?
In 1960, the median home value in the U.S. was $11,000, which is equivalent to around $98,000 in today's economy.
Mm.
In 2000, it rose to over $170,000 as the average median home value. So in 1960, you can go get a house for $98,000 with today's currency.
Yep.
A nice house. Because some of these homes that were built in the 60s were nice. Yeah. Understand what I'm saying?
Oh,
but
I do.
Yeah. But now you have homes that are $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 with the same square footage of the homes from the 60s. Why? I'll tell you why. Because baby boomers realize, we can increase this and nobody will say a thing because guess what? They need a home.
Yeah.
When you need something, you'll pay that little extra. You won't even question the amount because you need it.
Yep.
And that's what they did. They became greedy, even with the airlines. I'm telling you, I wonder what the average airline ticket price was back in 1980. Let's look at the ticket price in 1980, right? Yep. So the ticket price in 1980 was for airline ticket price was why are they coming up with movie ticket prices? I don't care about movie ticket prices. I'm telling you, dude, Google sometimes can get stuff very wrong. Was so in 1980, a round trip domestic flight was $592, right?
Right.
Round trip domestic flight, and I guess that was with Spirit. And in 2010, the average cost in 2010 was $337. So I guess it dropped.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty amazing. Something actually dropped.
You know why? It dropped because like more people started to fly. It dropped because there are more airlines. It dropped because depending on what the gas prices was, it's like a whole economical thing. But so, I get what you're saying though. I completely understand what you're saying. It's a change. It's a very greedy change. And because of that, back when, whatever, you said 1960s, right? You said 1960s, right? Yeah. Like, a man could get one job, work at it the entire time, pay for the house, pay for the car, pay for the food, have his, not even being misogynistic, but his wife at home, and with the kids. And that's the 1960s. And they grew up and they were fine. Everything was okay. One job household. Everything's paid for. Nothing has like they're not like impoverished.
Mm-hmm.
But no, the normal person today either has to live with a roommate or have a spouse that works because most of the apartments or wherever else you want to live are too expensive. Minimum wage does not pay for the standard of living, even on the lowest standard.
Oh, you know what? We're sounding too democratic now. Well, I don't know. I get called a Democrat all the time because I make sense. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm not a Democrat guy. You know, I'm just looking at things from every angle and realizing that if we had a country where everyone made money to survive at an average wage, guess what? We will be a better country.
Now it sounds like socialism.
No, I'm not even trying to give people free money. We can just increase the minimum wage to meet inflation. If you do that, we'll have a country with people who are happy to go to work, who are happy to work in factories, who are not complaining, and then we won't have a threat from China or Russia or anybody else, because the country, like we did in World War II, will get together and work our asses off to beat anybody. I know, guys, this is supposed to be a COVID-19 show and all this other stuff, and we've went on three different rants here, but it's like it's so much stuff that's happening that we don't understand, and we're trying to make sense of it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Take a breath. So, with that being said, freaking the United Airlines is trying to do a fast one on folks. United Airlines has fallen on hard times. Last week, United reported its first loss since 2014. Brother, everybody got a loss. Loss in what? 6 years? Aw, means you've had a surplus for 6 years. Where is your savings?
I have no sympathy for any of these big companies. Where is your savings? Exactly.
Where is your savings? Like, well, the regular American should have 3 to 6 month worth of savings stocked up. How about the regular American company? How about that? How about you large conglomerates making billions, or at least millions in profit? You make $1 million in profit and you don't save some? You stupid. All right. So we're going to get off that one. My last one right now anyway. Park ranger. The park ranger was telling a crowd to socially distance in the park during the tour. Mid-speech, someone pushes him into a lake.
Wow.
And reporting... this was May 5th, 2020. That's today, actually. So this was early in the morning. A man accused of shoving an Austin, Texas park ranger into the water while the ranger was explaining to the crowd the need for social distancing is embarrassed by his actions, says his lawyer.
People don't understand, dude, that the social distancing is put in place for a reason. It's here to protect you. It's not here to oppress you.
And that's it's here to protect you. A lot of these droplets can get on you.
They can stay on something. Now, I don't know what the actual lifespan of the coronavirus on an inanimate object is. Haven't researched it.
Does it fluctuate?
Yeah, I don't know. I just know that I did read that the coronavirus is one that rarely mutates. Unlike the flu or the cold virus, which mutates every year, you know, the coronavirus doesn't really mutate, which I think now we have a stronger chance of beating it because we know that it doesn't mutate that often.
But then we open up all the states, though. So that stronger chance just got punched in the face, bro.
Oh, dude, you know what? I think I was reading an article about how in Britain, one of the top scientists was saying that we should do like we did the chicken pox. And you know, back in the day, how you had these, what do they call it? When you get together. And people get, you know, your kids get the chicken pox, so that way they grow an immunity to it.
Yeah.
So, and then they come up with this suggestion that saying, oh, well, you can get coronavirus twice. Well, you can get the flu twice. You can get the cold twice.
You can get different strains. You're right.
But it's like, if the coronavirus doesn't mutate that often, your body builds antibodies to it. The second time go around won't be as bad.
They're actually encouraging healthcare workers who caught the coronavirus earlier in the year. If they caught it, they're asking them if they can volunteer to come back because they have some type of immunity now, you know, because they didn't die. Right.
They didn't die. You know, right. they have the antibodies. So we can use those antibodies to now help and cure people who have it now. It's so much stuff going on with this, man. And we only have, you know, a 30-minute show. It's not like we can spend 2 days talking about this. I would love
Could we?
I mean, we could. Our wives would be upset.
Brandon Hicks, 25, faces charges of attempted assault on a public servant, a state jail felony, said Travis County Sheriff's Office. A video has that gained attention after it was posted on social media includes the moment a young man pushes a ranger into a lake at Commons Ford Ranch Metro Park last Thursday afternoon. According to the arrest affidavit, the ranger Cassidy Stillwell was talking to a crowd of people, describing as described as unlawful drinking and smoking on a deck near Lake Austin. It's unclear from the affidavit whether Hicks was a part of the group mentioned in the affidavit. A screen grab or screenshot from the video posted by the eyewitness of someone Hicks pushing Ranger Stillwell into the water and Ranger Stillwell trying to hold on to Hicks's arm. Amid the crosstalk, the Stillwell is heard telling the crowd on the dock to disperse yourselves in the grassy area nearby. They were not maintaining physical distance of 6 feet. Some responded with "Will do" and "I got you, man." The Ranger's instructions were interrupted when the man pushes him into the shallow, murky water. The Ranger holds on to the man's arm and pulls him. The video shows the man, clad in a swimsuit, scrambles out of the water and rushes away.
Okay, so now I get the whole scenario. Now, I thought it was like they were taking a tour of the park and the Ranger was going to walk him. He was giving his brief. But now I understand that he just approached them while they were on the pier and was like, "Hey, y'all need to disperse. Too many of y'all together." And some young hood rat, because I don't care if you're white, black, or red all over, you're a hood rat if you're a hood rat. You know? Yep. Some young hood rat grabbed him and probably jumped in the water with him. So
now he pushed him. And then the guy pulled him in with him.
Okay, so I wonder whether it aggressively or whether playfully.
It don't matter, man. Like, why would you push a park ranger? Like, why would I'm sorry. I grew up in a time where, you know, if you have on a uniform, we usually try to do some of what you say. So I got you, man, and I start walking away leads to you told me what to do. I'm gonna go ahead and do it. I don't have to touch you. You damn sure don't have to touch me.
But look,
I'm not that one.
That's another show. That's another show.
I'm not that one that's going to push the park ranger into murky water.
Matter of fact, go ahead and write that down. Disrespect to authority figures then versus now.
I'm going to put disrespect in quotations, sir.
Okay. Yeah, put it in quotations because it goes both ways. But that's a different show. And so you guys have just heard how we come up with show topics here on True Information.
Really, you said disrespect of what?
Of authority figures. That could be teachers, police officers, anybody. You know what? And I think we could do that.
Yeah. Look, I already got a couple topics on that. Disrespecting teachers. Well, teachers used to disrespect us.
Well, they were in authority. You were there for... Okay, you know what? Another show. And with that being said, I'm Marquis Davis, here on True Information, and I'm with...
I'm sorry. I'm here, but I'm messing up already. It's grown man. Grown A man. Tell your mom about me. The hyphenation is not a problem, but just tell her not to call me too late at night. All right.
And with that, you guys have a great night.